Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. Today I have with me a beautiful soul brother, because I already feel your energy, Thomas Worm or Worm?
Yep.
Okay.
Worm. Yep.
Okay. And I wrote down a little bit because I thought it was really cool. So you are an NLP master practitioner. You work with hypnosis as well. You do in mental and emotional release. And I see all of these just complementing each other so well. Ancient Hawaiian healing arts practitioner. You're a former U.S. service, Forest Service, firefighter, which is a whole thing. That's a whole thing. And then you have something called Mountain Mind Tricks. So I'm just like, I love the blend. I feel the blend. And I want to get into like, what brought you from fighting fires and that whole culture to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. And so thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I can feel the energy. We're going to have an amazing time today. And and I'm excited for the people listening. So I'm going to have to rewind just a little bit. You know, as a teenager, my parents went through a pretty rough divorce, which put me in a very angry state. I was a very angry teenager. Kind of destructive, you know, like I would get angry and break things, you know, mostly skateboarding was like my life back then. But to really sum it up, I got to be hanging out with the wrong crowd and got into drugs as a teenager. And I had a near-death experience overdose when I was 15. And this really opened me up. So I went from, you know, I don't know, maybe I read one or two books for class my entire life at that time to now after this experience, I was reading two or three books a week on Buddhism, on philosophy, on Taoism, on all these meditation techniques. And I started practicing Tai Chi and Qigong and Kung Fu and like meditating. And I really expanded my consciousness as a teenager. And all of a sudden I was getting 4.0s and school was easy. And of course I lost all my friends, right? Then it just, my grandfather and my father were wildland firefighters for the Forest Service. So this was kind of a family tradition that I wasn't really super into, but I was like, you know, I don't want to go to college yet. I just want to go out there in the world and work. So I went straight to the Forest Service, and that's where, you know, I ended up spending 15 years with the Forest Service in deep in the mountains. You know, I really learned to master the chainsaws, my samurai sword, I would say. You know, jumping out of helicopters into the wilderness, all the things you do as a wildland firefighter. And what really brought me out of that was in 2015, my best friend, supervisor, passed away suddenly from a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And he was only 40. And unfortunately, this is actually really common in the wildland firefighter community, from just the stress, the poor eating, like just there's just so many factors. Mm-hmm. This really, at first I didn't really know what was happening to me other than I was drinking a lot, like really started having a problem with drinking. But then I really started having problems with my body, you know, lots of pain and chronic pain and just weird symptoms and stomach problems. I mean, it was just all over the place, kind of like my whole body was inflamed.
Okay.
And so to find healing, I started meditating again. So, you know, now I'm like 27, 28, you know, around that age. And so I was practicing a Qigong process, the microcosmic orbit. And I was doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks until one day it popped me out of my body. Like I had an out of body experience.
Oh, wow.
And it really woke me up. And this, I would say this really threw my body out of whack. I mean, I was having really severe anxiety and all sorts of weird symptoms again. And what really helped me kind of integrate and ground from this was acupuncture. So that's when I really started to open up to shamanic healing. So my practitioner was really good. You know, it wasn't just needles. It was nutrition, needles, Qigong, and also, you know, more like shamanic healing.
Okay.
And so that really just started to open me up to all these things. And I just kept going with the NLP and hypnosis, and the Huna work really helped me. You know, the Hawaiian energy stuff is just a pillar for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, all these things. It's so funny in life. You look back and it's just like, wow, the firefighting really actually set me up well for the work I do now. And it really taught me so much about the elements. Huna knows so much about the elements, everything, the basic elements and spirit. And so I have a really strong connection to fire, So I know it's a long story, but there's so many pieces and parts in there that I'm sure we'll dig into.
I'm so curious because like that whole journey of what causes us to snap out of the illusion back into the remembrance of who we are is such a fascinating journey.
Yeah.
And for you to have not just one, but two really intense experiences, just tells me how much your soul wanted you to wake
Well, it's funny you say that because when I look back, there's so many times where I should have died, like snowboarding, skateboarding, firefighting, like all these things. I had a pretty extreme life when I was a lot younger, and I always felt there was guardian angels around me. Like, how did I, like, when I was a teenager, I fell off a 30-foot cliff, I think, and landed
Oh,
on
wow.
rocks, snowboarding, and like all these things. I broke my neck surfing. Like, all these things happened to me. And it's like, I should have died. Like, there's no way. Like, how,
Right.
what? And then this is where, yeah, I'm excited to go here because I don't talk about this very often. But my first experience with the Huna and the Hawaiian energy in Hawaii. One of the first processes we do in class is that our teacher runs us through like going back through our timeline to the first time we were working with energy or the elements or maybe doing shamanic type work. And that's on that experience, that's when I first saw all those moments where I should have died. I saw myself from that class going back in time and changing things and saving myself. And I was just like, oh my God. Wow, it's just really like time just totally just dropped at that point, right? And so there's so many mystical experiences now that are just common for me. I'm always integrating something.
That's beautiful. I love that. I've done inner child work. And there was a point, I, being a former academic, I'm really good at research. And so there's one time where I turned that aspect of me, that researcher, onto my inner child. And she's like six, and here's this like older woman with a PhD coming at her like blah, 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 and she's like, leave me alone. And that's when I started doing somatic healing because I re-traumatized myself from the curiosity that became obsessive compulsive, dig, 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 dig. And yet, when I've allowed myself to just feel what my inner child needs, that's the healing for me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Just feeling into it. So important. So important to just first feel the emotions before we start working on them or moving them or pushing them or receiving them. It's just so, I think that took me some time to learn, especially once I became a practitioner. It's like, I got to release this and this and this, this is, and oh, about feeling first and surrendering to them and full body feeling them, right?
And giving yourself permission not to solve everything at the same time.
Right. So important. Yeah, because I think our mind, we want to do that, right? We want to fix everything when, I think the true healing comes when it's like, there's nothing to fix. I'm a whole person. And every little aspect that I judge or that I, want to change about myself or this and that, it's just like it, if we love that part, if we love that piece and integrate it, this is the healing. Yeah, and it's so interesting. We have a process in Huna. I'm sure many people have heard of Ho'oponopono, which you'll find it on YouTube and things. And the th stuff that you see out there is not. There's more to it. There's a lot more to it.
That
And
makes sense.
so we're so blessed to have the lineage we have to teach us like the ancient way of Ho'oponopono. And one of the things we do is we We basically connect with infinite source love and light and fill the body, kind of like Reiki. And then we build a stage that's below you and in front of you in your mind, and we bring out all these people and we actually exchange this energy. We fill them up too. We fill them up and heal them and talk to them, and they talk to us. And then we actually cut the cords. Now, this is really powerful. A lot of times people from the other side will come up and talk to you, or all sorts of things will happen with Ho'oponopono. But another aspect to it is doing it with the self. And this is really powerful because we bring out that inner child and we forgive that inner child. But then we also ask for all the parts of the self to come out onto the stage. And it's like you're healing this massive, all these different aspects. We're healing and loving and bringing that energy in. And then we integrate it into one. And we bring it back into our heart. This is very profound for people. They have a profound experience of like truly, I think forgiveness may be one of the most powerful healing modalities, like true forgiveness, like the energy of forgiveness, right?
I agree. Yeah, when my dad died in 2009, I somehow came across a meditation that the founder of Mind Valley, Vishen, had. It was a 7-part thing, and the first part, or one of the part that I focused on the most was forgiveness. I listened to that meditation every day for 7 years because I was just forgiving, 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 because I get deeper and deeper layers. And then I was guided to start receiving body talk sessions and more layers and more layers. And it's, when you, it's a combination that I've noticed, is a combination of the things you didn't resolve in previous life streams, because there's no time and space. And then the ancestral lineage that I know I agreed to sign up for before I incarnated, to heal. So, given that nuanced balance of just uncovering the layers and all the programs we have, and having the grace to be like, okay, you don't have to do this full time. Although self-healing feels like a full-time job sometimes, it's that balance of like living and healing at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And healing work, these modalities, when we shift something really major in the mind, the body's going to react to that. And there's going to be a healing process, and we're going to, feel maybe tired, or the body's going to get cold, or we're going to like really feel this energy drop, or all sorts of things can happen, right? And it's like, so we need to take the pro it's a process. It is not something that we just, necessarily do overnight.
Be nice.
I know, right?
It's like,
And
oh, look, there's another layer. I thought I just worked on this 6 months ago.
And something I do with clients is like an 8-hour breakthrough session, which is just, it's intensive and it's a lot. And we spend 2 or 3 hours doing a detailed personal history is what we call it. But that part is really just the talking, the story, it's gonna feel like traditional therapy, but it's not, because it's more of an NLP perspective, where for the listeners, it's neuro-linguistic programming. So what that is it's really like the neurology and our language and our unconscious programs. And so, yes, the person's talking about their life and their story, but I'm listening about how does it work? How does your anxiety happen? What's the steps? Like, let's break it down almost as if it's a mathematical problem of like, okay, it starts here. Here's the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And this equals I have anxiety, right? Or I have this belief about myself, or this major emotion. And so we get to understand the problem in like the mechanics. And then we go into the mental emotional release, the timeline therapy, the higher self therapy, the Ho'oponopono. We just start just really li lifting huge stuff out of people's, ancestral, genealogical, their physical, emotional, mental bodies. It's pretty powerful work. It's
Yeah, I was just going to
amazing.
say that. It felt really powerful.
I've been working with firefighters for a long last 5 years, and PTSD and trauma and like major traumas, and it's And it's just a blessing. I just see so many things happening for people and so much healing, even at the physical level. It's really amazing when we move these things in the mind, how much the body responds in such a powerful, healing way. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. For some reason, something just popped in that came out of left field, so I apologize about this.
Perfect.
So as you started med when you started meditating again while you were in the Forest Service, did you feel a shift in your awareness of your interconnectedness with the land and the animals?
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. So this is, it was really hard because I did spend, wow, I spent another 3 or 4 years after my awakening in the Forest Service. And I was, by the end of it, I was building my business up and taking more trainings in the energy and mental health space. But what I can say is in firefighting, we have something called situational awareness. Okay. That means we're listening to the radio, we're watching the helicopter, we're watching the fire. We've got all these things we have to take, like really be aware of. But then after this awakening, I started like, what if we expanded that to just my situational awareness in my body, or situational awareness, like you said, to the land. And I felt that awareness just expanding and expanding to the point where, and I could never talk to anybody, any of my colleagues about this really, but it would be to the point the fire started talking to me. Okay. So like the whole mountain would be on fire and things are blowing up and all these things. And as a leader, I'd have to make these choices like, okay, we're going to go attack this thing over here. We're going to do this. And so many times it'd be like, don't go down that road. Okay, like who are you? Oh, I'm the fire. Like we're actually gonna blow out that whole canyon this afternoon. You don't want to be there. Okay, where should we go? And like, go over here and like do this thing. And it was just so the fire started talking to me. And I have one specific story. I do tell it quite often because it was so impactful for me. There is a time where we got dropped off by the helicopter deep in the mountains in Montana, like way in the wilderness. And it was just a small little lightning fire. So it was really easy. We, you know, hiked off the mountain just a little bit down the slope and put out the fire and all these things. And typically you spend 2 or 3 days out there with just you and another person. So by the time it came to hike out and get, you know, do the get back home and everything, our phones had ran out of battery. Our GPS ran out of battery. This is very uncommon. Usually we're way more prepared than this. Our map got destroyed. So we're like, we don't even know what, like, we don't even know where to go other than like, you know, the helicopter kind of circled that circles the area. I was like, okay, this is like some pics you can have. You can go down this ridge or this, you know, rock field or whatever. And I remember sitting there like, oh, what are we gonna do? I have no idea where to go. And in that moment, there's like this red hawk flying over. And I just, my consciousness just went into the hawk. And I was like above this ridge, just like looking like, okay, like we could go down. Oh, there it is. There's a little ridge there that leads to this creek bottom. And this, it'll get us to the trail, like where we need to go to. And it was just like, whoa. And we followed that ridge, we followed that creek, and like it worked. So things like, and talking to trees, I would say, was probably the biggest one. Like,
It's one of
wow,
my
man, me
favorite
and
things to
trees.
do.
Yeah, there's so just there's I call them tree people because that's just what they are. Yeah, they're so amazing. So, yes, and that's where I think, you know, like I said earlier, like the elements and all that stuff I did outdoors, like really, really connected me in ways that I, you know, are just so powerful. The connection to the land, yes.
I love that. So I'm going to ask because my experience has been with cedars and their kin, and they typically just pull me over to like exchange energy. When I was the 2 times I've gone to Yosemite, I felt the valley just like explode with happiness that I'm showing up, and I'm like, who's having this celebration? Because I don't know why, but it's nice to feel. But I don't have convert. I've only had one conversation, and that was with a redwood. But most of the time, it's just an energy exchange. So, how do you feel it?
With cedar specifically, that is so interesting because I feel so drawn to just put my hands on the tree and be like, ah, oh, thank you. I don't know, whatever that was, but thank you for taking it and recycling it. And I would say, yeah, cedars aren't like super talkative. They just want your energy. It's so interesting. And like ponderosa pine, like Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, like those trees, I feel like want to talk to you.
Really?
Like, yes. And that those are the ones I've talked to the most.
Cool.
They just, yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting. I've never like realized that about cedars. Like, yeah, I just feel so drawn to just release energy into them. Yeah.
Yeah, they're magical. I love
Yeah.
them. I love the differentiation because I felt energies of ponderosas, but for some reason the cedars are the ones that just pull me in, and the redwoods and the sequoias, they're all kin. And when I was
Yeah.
up in Orcas Island this summer, I went on a hike, and the trees literally guided me to where they wanted me to be. And I just felt like I just kept calling them my kin. And I didn't understand why I was calling them that, but like it was this joyful reunion of energies. And they brought me to this magical spot that was overlooking the ocean, and I was surrounded by them. And it was this little celebration of energies to just be present with one another. And it was just really magical.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, the Northwest is just so powerful. Like I love it up here. It's I'm actually in Olympia area, so
Oh, beautiful.
yeah, it's just there's so many trees. There's so many trees and the green, it just there's something about the green. How green it is, it just opens up my heart.
I'm in Oregon. I'm in rural Oregon, so I understand that. It's like western rural Oregon. Lots of rain, but the green.
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah.
how like it's like a different. It's I grew up on the East Coast, and I remember the first time I flew back from Washington to Connecticut, and I was so used to seeing the green of Washington that when I flew back to JFK, it was like this really gross brown, frozen brown
Right.
ground. I'm like, I want to
Yeah,
go
right.
back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So here's another question that's coming in. So do you feel the different energies of the lands?
Yeah, it's so interesting because I have the last 4 years I've been running retreats down in Mexico. And so there's a specific town that we work in on. It's an old church ruin on top of this hill with like a beautiful, it is a retreat center, but it's more like it's just a old, like old house that's all brick and really beautiful, like Mexican style, and an old like outdoor restaurant. But the whole property's got this old, it's the first Catholic church that was on site, but it's in the ruins now, right? It's not, it's
Okay.
there's not together, it's just kind of scattered, and there's like Mother Mary statues and things there. But the natives used that exact area as a vortex for a long time. And
Oh,
actually the
wow.
town is called Yerba Buena, which means good herbs. And so they would come and pick the healing herbs like mint or like these different kinds of herbs that would heal them. And so it's been this like magical town for so long. It's got ancient history there. And absolutely, I feel like every time I step on that land, it's like, oh my God, like it's like the veil drops, or when I get off the plane in Hawaii, it's just instantly like, oh my goodness, I feel so calm and peaceful and just wide open to love. And recently in December, I went on a trip to Egypt for 2 weeks, and that was so intense. I mean, just as soon as I got off the plane, was like, I don't know what otherwise, just psychedelic the whole time, the
Oh,
dreams, the
wow.
feelings, just like just so tapped in, such expanded consciousness. It was just like, it was a lot. Like the land alone is just a lot over there. And so yes, I definitely feel that. And it's beautiful. It's interesting how much the land, speaks to us if we listen.
Yeah, I completely hear that. I remember when I was up in Orcas, I lived near a public beach, and not that I'm swimming in that water. This is too cold. But I'd be drawn to watching the sunsets for like 2, 3 hours a couple nights a week because it was so majestic to me. And watching Bellingham Bay and the color of the water in Bellingham Bay out to the islands, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a, it's got the bubbliness of champagne, but it's like a pale blue. And I feel the magic of it. It could be because the Kolomishan are there, orcas. They want me to call them Kolomishan. And I don't, it's something this, there's something really magical, like the land danced with me when I was up there. I didn't really connect with the people too much, but the land and I, whoo, we got along really well.
Yeah, there's a place in Washington called Knife's Ridge. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Knife's Edge, excuse me.
Okay.
And it's out of White Pass area, and it's
Okay.
pretty deep in the backcountry. And I was there last summer, and it's like you're in this perfect triangle between Rainier and St. Helens and Adams, and you're like right in the middle of them. And you're like way up in the mountains in these really, it's Knife's Edge for a reason. The trail is like really dangerous and really tight on this Knife's Ridge, and you could just feel the energy, like, oh my goodness, you're just like, and I feel like, to me, these volcanoes feel like ancestors, or like, of course, everybody talks about Shasta, but every single one has this deep energy, and some of them are like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you, but some of them are like wide open, it's like, and so I just felt so much energy there. It's like, wow, I have to come back here. Like,
Oh
this place
yeah.
is so special.
Well, I'm just laughing at that because like Shasta is to me energetically, she is a very powerful, leave me alone. Like you can hike on me, but you are not developing on me. Don't even try it because like she's had avalanches when people have tried to develop. Helens was so upset, she just blew everything up. Hood feels like it was kind of subdued. Rainier definitely feels subdued because like when there's development on it, that's what I mean. Baker feels wild too. And Adams feels wild too because it hasn't been developed. So it's really interesting to tune into the energies of the different mountains. And volcanoes, because they are volcanoes. It's just the fascination of the conversations you can have with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I spent, let's see, last summer as well, I spent about 3 weeks in Shasta area, and it was just like, man, that mountain talks so much. And it was funny. Like, it was
Yeah.
hilarious. It was just like telling me all these jokes, and it was very, why it was very opening. And it was like, you should move here. Like, I know, like, I will someday maybe, but like all these, I don't know. It was just these hilarious conversations with Mount Shasta, and it's a
That's
beautiful,
awesome.
beautiful spot.
Yes, she is. Yeah, I was down there for 3 years and I know exactly. I got to look at the heart of her because I was in Weed, so I got to see the heart of Shasta pretty much the entire time I was living there. It was pretty magical. So,
Yeah, that's nice. That's
yeah.
nice.
And intense. She's an intense
Yes,
mom.
I'm I can only imagine living there. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. So I want to ask, I'm tuning in, where's it coming from? When did you feel the shift to be able to share what you do with the world?
Wow, that's a beautiful question.
Thank you.
So when I had that major awakening, after my friend passed away, I was an acupuncturist for about 6 months, and so my acupuncturist was like, yes, you have a qigong deviation, which is super rare. He's like, basically your meridians are kind of like running backwards, like you've had this such a kundalini event that is like, so it took some time to like integrate and get stuff
Wow.
regulated, and that I would call him my mentor because he really mentored me in so many different ways. He was like, you know, you should go check out NLP. Like, go to an NLP class. It's a 4-day class, just basic. It's really gonna help you. Because I in that awakening I had, and we can go into the experience more, but when I came back into my body, it was like, I want to help people, but I have no idea what that means or how. And so on this path, I went to the basic NLP. And there's so many synchronicities. Like, I had been drawing this weird like wave crystal thing for a couple months, and it was like the second slide of the presentation. I'm like, what?
Oh,
Like,
wow.
oh, okay, I guess I'm in the right spot right now. And it was the NLP really helped me. Like, this is everything I've ever thought, like, organized into like science. Like, this is blowing my mind. So I had to go to the advanced. It's like, I got to go to the master practitioner and get certified. So when I was there, we practiced what we call the breakthrough session, you know, that process I was telling you about. And that flagship technique in there, the major technique we use, is mental emotional release. Now, what that does is we get in touch with the timeline at the unconscious level. So our unconscious mind, like computer, saves every event, every trauma, every happiness, every emotion, everything in these like time-stamped things. Some people call it the Akashic Records. Same thing. What we do with mental emotional release is we go from now, we go back to the very first time you experienced anger. Okay. So at that point, you know, anger, sadness, fear, whatever emotion or belief we're working on. So I remember when the person was practicing on me, we were releasing fear, and I had so much fear from all the firefighting. I mean, there's just so much fear in my body from many things in life. And when we released that fear, from the very first time I felt fear, and I can't remember, it was probably something genealogical or past life, or even during birth, that's super common. I remember when I released it and like came back along my timeline, releasing all of the fear from that moment all the way back to now, when I opened my eyes, it was like I felt my body was different. I was a different person. Like, I felt something lift off my body. I felt the energy, like I could breathe for the first time in so long. And I was like, I have to do this with people. Like, I have to do this with people. So that was the moment that, like, that was a huge convincer and shift for me, because I had never, the acupuncture really helped, and the stuff we were doing really, really helped. But this was like, I would say, light years beyond that. Like, it was so much energy that got removed, so fast. So that was the moment. That was the moment. And that's the mental emotion release technique, is something that's very close to me because of that. And I've seen it work with all my firefighters in so many powerful ways. So yeah, I love it.
I love that. I love the fact that they're open to receiving that too.
It's mostly, you know, I would say 98% of the fire folks are not, but the people that come to me, and it's funny, I work mostly with women. But most of the time, you know, I would say the fire people that come to me are like, they've tried therapy, they've done this thing or that with the medical doctors, or they've done this, and they're just like, I don't know, man, I want the weird stuff. And that's kind of, and honestly, unfortunately, this is a little bit unfortunate, but I think the fire folks, when they come to me, they're kind of suicidal. It's very, very common. Like, we lose more people to suicide than on the line. So they're just at the end of their rope. You know, they're just like, I don't even know what to like do anymore, or try or anything. And so, it's not widely accepted. You know, people have got to be kind of squeezed, unfortunately, to be open to it. But, you know, the fire people are much more, it's not that far from the military, you know.
Right,
It's really
right,
not.
right. That's kind of what I was sensing, because there's such harsh conditions, and like if you're intuitive, if you're empathetic, you have to like kind of cut parts of that off, because you're seeing trauma with the animals, with the trees, with the land. And it's the word that's coming in is like triage. And when you're doing triage, you have to shut your feelings down in order to get through to the other side. And I had an experience that when my dad was dying, it was me, my dad, and my mom. And I'm the one holding the space for this transition. And he has a staph infection, and he's in, oh, I just lost the word. When there's no hope of you returning, that state. And they're like, you must wear gloves. And I'm like, okay, this man hasn't allowed anyone to touch him ever. So I take the gloves off and I just start caressing his arm like this and caressing his face, just to let him know how much he's loved and like this is safe. And I could feel the shift in his, like the tension and the pain of having all of his organs eaten by this staph infection. Just that, oh, she's actually like embodying Christ consciousness right now and just like really just letting me know I'm safe. And so I was able to do that, but I wasn't able to feel myself in the process because I was holding space for him and mom. And so that triage area took me a while to allow myself to feel it because I was trying to do that. And so what I've learned is like I'm part of that. You know, getting from that triage state to know my feelings are just as valid as if not more important than anyone else's, because if I'm not taking care of myself, I can't take care of anyone else. But it's such a hard transition to go from that programming of the triage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, yeah, that's triage is so interesting because, yes, you know, there's just day in, day out micro traumas is the way we talk about in wildland fire, because it's not city firefighting where you're like going to car accidents and going to house calls and, you know, seeing dead bodies and stuff. Like, the city guys go through something totally different. We are much more 16 hours a day of like professional athlete experience of just being in the mountains. So like the studies have shown that like a day on the fire line, like an actual, like you're working on the line all day, is equivalent to riding like a Tour de France. We do that every single day. Right. So the physical cost is just astronomical. It's actually, there's things about the wildland firefighters that are like push science, like push to like the boundary of human physiology, actually, because, you know, think about it. You've got 50, 60 pounds, you're hiking maybe 20 miles a day, you're like, it's 105 degrees out, and plus you're next to a fire, so it's like 125, 130. You know, it's on top of all the stress, on top of working for the government, which is just like, even it's even more stressful than all of that put together, you know. So it's the amount of stress that individual goes through is just like mind-boggling. And for me personally, you're right, like I think it took me multiple years of healing to like work on the mental, emotional, but then it was also the physical. I had to detox all my body from the smoke and all those things. And it's just like, man, I didn't even, you just stuff it all down. And I think we're taught that so much, such a big program in our society to just push it down and deal with it later. But it's never really helpful. We know, like science, there's so much science now that emotions cause disease, like stuck emotions, like very, very stuck emotions, stuck trauma. Or, you know, for people listening, like if you want to really read into this, is like the biology of belief and Bruce Lipton's work with epigenetics. I mean, that stuff is just mind blowing. He really, really taught the world about
I love
self.
him.
I know. I love Bruce. He's
Just such a light in the world. Like if you watch him, I love the verbal tics that he has. I'm like ready for them
I
every time he talks, but like I just love his energy.
know.
And you know, he did this what in the 80s, I think. And
I think, yeah, mid-80s.
it's still not in the mass, it's not in mass consciousness yet. It's like, wow, had I known about that, like that that, like recognizing that as a component of like epigenetics, as like one factor in the multi being that we are, and how we bring that in through the neural pathways, that's just so cool and trippy and
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, for the audience, if they don't know what we're talking about, it's Bruce Lipton did a lot of research with stem cells and like cellular biology, but to really take it down, he wanted to find the brain of the cell. That was one of his things. It's like, what's the brain? And he did all these experiments and he came to, well, the membrane, actually the outer edge of the cell is the brain. And what he came to see was that, you know, this membrane would allow these peptides or chemicals to come in and out of the cells. And through his research, he really understood, you know, has nothing to do with the genes affecting the cell biology or the health of the cell or anything like that. It's actually the environment. And he expanded that. Well, it's yes, it's the environment, but it's also energy and vibration. Okay, what's that then, right? And it's like actually it is your environment, but more importantly, and I love when Bruce talks about this, it's your interpretation of the environment. This is the most important thing. So it's actually your interpretation of the environment that is affecting your cells. So your brain, its job is to take your emotions, all these pictures in your mind, and turn it into all this chemistry and neural peptides and all these things so your body can process it. Well, if we have stress, that's a cumulative stress, you know, all this internal stress from emotions and beliefs and trauma, all these things, well, it does not create health.
Right.
And you know, from a lot of Dr. John Sarno's work is like, you know, 95% of disease is stress related. Like, wow.
Oh yeah.
Wow. And that's
Yeah.
why, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, but I see my colleagues working with cancer and AIDS and doing mental emotional release process with these people, breakthrough sessions. It's like, whoa, there's some really powerful things physically with this stuff. You know, when we really
Yeah.
talk about deprogramming or you know, processing these negative, you know, programmed things that are in the unconscious mind.
Oh, it's
Really powerful.
amazing. It's
It's
amazing.
amazing.
I had this one thing come in this morning where I mean, I wake up and I'm like, okay, just tuning in, and I tune into my higher self, and I hear this, or I start seeing a movie of a dynamic I had with my mom that I thought I healed. But it was a deeper layer, and the message that came through was like, oh wow, I had no idea that this was still affecting me in this particular way. And so now I have the awareness of it, and it's like, this is so cool because I'm gifted with the my team loves dropping unconscious things into my awareness regularly. So it's like, it's so cool that I get to see this, so that I can be present to it and feel the feelings of what was the term that I had? It was like a self-sabotaging energy that came from a misperception my little one had about how my mom wanted to help me.
Right.
And it's so cool that I saw it
Yeah.
because I didn't know it was still affecting me.
Right. I mean, you know, it's just so powerful when we see it that way of like, this is really interesting, and the curiosity that comes from this type of work. And like, the more we uncover the things like this and have a curiosity, and like, this is actually the awareness of something is the first step. And it's just so, it's so beneficial. I'm aware of this now. So now I can do my work. I can do some emotional work. I can do some mental work. I can do some spiritual work, or maybe I need to take a specific action, or I need to do set a boundary over here. You know, it's like, but this awareness lets me, it's like, it's an exciting moment. Like when that awareness comes of a pattern, you're like, wow, I see the pattern now. Oh my God, I've been running that my whole life.
And not to shame it, like it really is a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a gift. It's a gift. You know, one of the things, in the Hawaiian culture, they say celebrate it when your baggage is coming up. Like, yes, I have baggage. Like, please, like, just give it the higher self. You know, it's One of the things I'm so grateful for Lineages is the higher self therapy. It is just such a powerful technique. Oh my goodness. Yeah, higher self therapy, man. I
Talk
just
a
love it.
little bit about that because I connect with my higher self through a breathing technique, but I want to hear what the therapy is because I've never heard of that term before.
Yeah, so basically, there's some Hawaiian chants and like ancient Hawaiian. First we call in source. We're gonna call in the masculine aspect of source just to bring down a protection. So there's some chanting that goes on, and then we do a chant again for the highest self. So we're calling the highest self. Not that it ever leaves, but sometimes it's like you're boring. You're like on your computer all day. Like, I'm gonna go do some cool stuff over here, right? So we're kind of like, hey, highest self, I need you right now. And then what we do is we just ask the unconscious mind to get in touch with the emotions. Get in touch with the root cause, get in touch with the beliefs, the energies, and then we ask the unconscious mind to find it in the body. And then we ask the unconscious mind to like really light it up, like surround it in the light. And then it's then basically it's like Reiki, right? Like I'm working with angels and guides and stuff. Like I'm gonna ask my guides, like, okay, like talk to their highest self and ask the highest self to pull that stuff out of their body and replace it with something new, with new light, basically is the process. And so it's a lot of visualization, energy, and prayer, if you will. It's really like a prayer. And every time it's just so powerful because it, I guess the one of the things I want to say from one of my teachers, and he is, a doctor in psychiatry, and he has this gigantic clinic. I mean, his clinic is wow. He works, his career is like criminally insane with mental health, and like he really deep. And he's like, I've studied everything from NLP and hypnosis and mental emotional release and psychiatry and all these things. He's like, you know what works every time, no matter what? Higher self therapy. I'm like, wow, man, that is so
That's
powerful.
cool.
So yeah, it's a very powerful technique, and we can use it for so many different things. It could be an emotion, it could be a belief, it could be a thought form, it could be something attached to you. Like, it doesn't matter. We just pull stuff out. So it's fun. And I think one of the things that's so interesting is that more often than not, the person's going to go into some sort of altered state of consciousness. Very, very common. So it's almost like I don't know, a plant medicine experience sometimes for people. It's very, yeah, it's very visual for a lot of people. Yeah, it's good.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, and what inspired you to write? Because you have four books.
Oh wow. Well, the whole thing of like I want to help people, like let me rewind a little bit. I would say most of my life, and I feel like it's gone now, but most of my life I had this like orthorexia. If people don't know, it's an obsession with health, like obsession with this supplement's going to heal me, or like this exercise is going to heal me, or I got to do this thing with my, it's just obsession with health. And so I've spent, I mean, more than 15, 20 years just like reading on like mental health and supplements and Chinese medicine. I mean, I'm a big time researcher on that stuff personally. And so when I had this calling of like, I need to help people, but I don't really know what, it came through is like I just had to start writing, and I didn't know why. It was like, I'm just going to start writing this book, I guess. So I just started writing, and it was just like, next thing I know, maybe a week later, I had 40,000 words. And I'm just like, what is happening right now? And that actually turned into a couple books. And it took a long time to edit. And that was just wild. That first book was, really hard because it was kind of like gibberish when I came out of me, not totally gibberish, but like there was no structure, there was no like this ch it took a long time. And then my most recent book, Seven Ways to Medicine, was I was down in a retreat in Mexico a couple years ago, and one of our beautiful elders that does Sweat Lodge, She was doing this prayer, this seven directional prayer to basically the four elements, to Father Sky, to Mother Earth in the center. And it was like a lightning bolt hit me, like
Oh,
just
wow.
like through my body. And it's just like, you're gonna write a book about this. So I was just like, what?
Wow.
And I would say it's funny because that book literally tormented me. Like I'd be laying in bed and be like, okay, it's time to write, it's time to write. It's like, but I need, no, it's time to write
Wow.
now. Like, go sit your computer and write. And it really taught me how to channel that writing process. So that book is fully like, there's a lot of wisdom from the Mexican lineages I work with down in Mexico
Cool.
and Lakota. And then also there's a lot of like universal laws from Hermeticism and the Huna, and it's all just so related. So I kind of tie it all together with this seven directional prayer. And with that book, there's a guided meditation album. And that process completely channeled. Like I'm in shock every time I listen to it. Like, I don't even know how this happened, but it sure did. And the recording process, I mean, I had never heard the music. I went with this new artist that was recommended, like a meditation music artist. And so when I sat in her studio and I was like, we did all the prayer and ceremony and stuff, and we got ready to record, I was like, okay, let's just listen to the song and see what comes up. And she played the song once, and I was like, okay, we have to record right now. And like, no
Wow.
prep. And we just recorded it. Like, every single track is recorded once. Like,
Wow.
it's, I have some people talk to, like, message me, like, I listen to this every single day. Like, wow, it's really
Love
powerful. And
that.
it, yeah, there's definitely some therapeutic value for people. There's a lot of therapeutic value in it. So, yeah, it's the books. I haven't had the calling yet, but I'm sure there's another one somewhere. I'm sure it's
I
coming
get
at some
that.
point.
I started a novel in 2014 and it comes in spurts. It's like whenever my soul says, okay, you're up for the next, it's like it's me, but it's not me. And it's an historical fiction, but it's also spiritual. And because I want spiritual fiction. There aren't a lot of spiritual fiction writers. So like it'll come through and I'll feel, because I'm channeling it, I'm just typing it and I'm channeling, but I'll feel the shifts in my consciousness as I'm typing it.
Isn't that wild?
It's so wild.
You know what's really interesting about that Seven Ways to Medicine, I think you'll really because there is, each chapter starts with a fictional story. So actually, it's like the first thing in the book is actually called, the chapter is called, or the first story is called Tree People. And it's about the perspective of a tree's life cycle through life, through
Oh,
fire, through
cool.
everything. And it's really like, every time I read it, I literally start crying because it's so like gut-wrenching, but also happy. And like, it's just so beautiful. There's one that's like a perspective of like the rocks, like the abuelos, like the grandfathers, or like a sail, like on a boat in ancient times. So it's just like this weird, like, spiritual fiction that's kind of interwoven into that book, which is really, really fun.
That's beautiful.
And that's the, traditional wisdom is like everything was told through story. And that's a huge NLP thing as well. Like, you can heal somebody just by telling them a story. You know how to work metaphors and understand the unconscious mind. It's like, you just tell them a story and you're gonna have a pop, as I call it, they're gonna pop. Right? So it's so powerful, the storytelling.
It's my favorite thing.
I know, it's so much fun.
Well, I am aware of time, and so even though it's a construct, so I'm going to ask you one more question. Is that how can people find you?
Oh, I think yes, I'm wide open on time, and I think I lost you for a quick
Oh,
second. Can
okay.
you repeat the question?
Yes. How can people find you?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Mountainmindtricks.com is the best on the website, and then Seven Ways to Medicine's the newest book. And then I would say Seven Ways to Medicine on Spotify or any other music. Is where you can find the meditation stuff, and Instagram, Mountain Mind Tricks. You know, those are the best ways to find me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for your time and all of the work you do in the world and for sharing all that you are on this beautiful conversation with me. I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you so much for your time and everything you do, and just being a light in the world and
Thank
listening to higher self. Thank you. Thank you. And just
you.
thank you for everybody listening. I love you all.
Preservation of our soul shine. I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.